Chapter 14. The Alliance. "Oh, mon Dieu!" wailed the sugar glider. "It's the end of the road! The final act! Showdown at High Moon!"
"There's nothing to be afraid of," said Dawn. "When we meet the coyotes, that will be clear."
"Clear that I'm cooked!" moaned the sugar glider. He threw his paws up in defeat.
"Bismarck," said Dawn.
But he would not let her speak. "I'll be minced meat! Glider goulash! Marsupial mash!" Bismarck placed a flap on his forehead as though he were about to pass out. "I must keep watch. Sleep no more," he continued, climbing to the top of a tree. "I shall be the eyes and ears for us all."
The bats rolled their eyes.
"He's on the edge, that chap. Completely meshugena. The egg is cracked. Totally scrambled."
The others stayed quiet, but they were equally scared. The coyotes were not known for their kindness. In fact, they had a reputation for being scoundrels of the night. Tobin surveyed the land, taking in the dim light as best he could with his tiny eyes. Then he saw Dawn, who had wandered away, sitting alone on a grassy knoll. Slowly, the pangolin crawled toward his friend and sat down beside her. Dawn let out a breath. She knew Tobin wanted an explanation. "I have a history with the coyotes," she started, her voice soft and low. "I met Ciro when I was young. We became good friends." She paused. "But we were born in remote northern brambles, away from other pups of our kind. We did not know the ways of the plains, and once we ventured out, well..." Dawn's words trailed off, and she lowered her gaze to the ground. "Ciro was a coyote. He belongs in a pack." Her voice hardened. "A pack of which I'm not a part." Tobin waited, but the fox said no more. "Are you glad to see him?" he asked. Dawn met Tobin's gaze. "We cannot deny our past," she explained. "Our memories define who we are." Tobin did not know what exactly she meant, but he knew not to ask more. "I suppose this alliance is a good thing," he offered, hoping to show his support. Dawn nodded. "It is certainly our best hope," she replied.
"Aye!" At the sound of the sugar glider's sharp wail, the fox's ears stood erect. "Holy Mother of Madness! El Padre of Pain! It's the carnivores!" From his perch in the tree, Bismarck jumped and pointed feverishly.
The animals turned in time to see three coyotes trotting toward them from the brush.
"Au revoir, mis amigos. I shall see you all in another life."
As Bismarck lamented his fate, he lost his footing on a patch of slippery bark and tumbled out of the tree. With a grunt and a thump, the sugar glider landed on the moss beds below. "Oh, dear," said Tobin, stepping toward his fallen friend. "He will be fine," said Dawn. She turned toward the coyotes. "Welcome, Ciro." Ciro furrowed his brow, baffled by the odd assortment of creatures. Then he nodded to his companions.
"This is Ajax and Julian," he said. The giant creatures bowed in greeting. "Have the members of your group been caught up?"
"They have not," Dawn replied.
"Then this is where we'll begin." Ciro eyed Bismarck, still lying in a heap. "Shall we wait for the flying squirrel?"
"Squirrel?" The bats howled with laughter.
"He's a marsupial, sir. He'll tell you himself, soon as he wakes up from his fall."
"Let's focus," said Dawn, shooting a stern look at the bats. The fox turned to Ciro. "Why don't you share what you know?" she suggested. "We can fill Bismarck in later."
"Very well," replied the coyote. He motioned for the group to draw closer. "We must stop these nocturnal nappings." "We've been aware of them for some time," added Julian. "Since one of our own was snatched," Ajax barked. The vein in his neck pulsed with rage. "Yes," Ciro said. "When our Audrey went missing," he took a deep breath. "Since then, we have confirmed the disappearance of many others. A raccoon, a possum, a wombat."
Cora let out a small yelp.
Ciro paused for a moment, then went on. "A honey badger, a mink, a tarantula, and 12 kiwis."
Julian bowed his head. Ajax clawed at the earth.
"We have been studying these animals," Ciro continued. "Their patterns, behaviors, and qualities. We need to know why they were taken."
The animals listened carefully. Even the bats were silent.
"But nothing adds up," finished Ciro. "There is no common thread among those who are missing."
The coyote glanced over at Dawn. We do, however, have one meaningful lead. The others leaned in. There is one animal who's been spotted at every known napping, Ciro paused. The jerboa. Cora gasped. The bats flapped, but Tobin did not flinch. Yes, confirmed Dawn. She stepped beside the coyote. Jerry's involvement is certain. He may be too small to overpower larger creatures, but he definitely played a role in their disappearance.
Well, let's go find him then, Ajax barked. The hot-tempered coyote scratched at the earth.
Ciro raised his front paw, signaling for his friend to calm down. Ajax took a deep breath, but his eyes still gleamed with rage.
That rotten rodent is out there, he grunted, just waiting to nap his next victim.
Tobin lowered his gaze toward the earth. I never trusted him, he said softly. But Bismarck did, said Dawn, and Jerry trusted Bismarck as well. Her lips curled up slightly.
Is that a good thing? Asked Cora.
The fox nodded. Jerry might have confided in him, she explained. Let's go wake Bismarck. Ciro surveyed the nervous group. His face flashed with mischief.
Yes, he said. The coyote shot a sly wink at the bats. Let's go rouse the squirrel.
All four flying creatures tittered at Ciro's joke. Cora chuckled under her breath. Even Dawn flashed a grin. Despite the dangers that lurked, Tobin felt a wave of relief. The coyotes were friends, not foes, and together they would restore safety and peace to the night.